Today is last Sabbath of the month, April 30th. April 30th. Okay, I thought I said May, but no, it's April 30th. And 2022, for those of you on WTPR later on. We're still in Matthew 24. I actually was moved by the Lord to, share Matthew 25 with my brothers and sisters, but can't really do 25 without using 20 or, you know, studying up for 24 first. And I did talk to Sister Mary Beth yesterday. She's back up and running. All the books have been moved to the better location on her land still, obviously. And so hopefully we'll be getting there. Christ and His Righteousness, or Christ Our Righteousness. I can't remember the exact name of the booklet they have at vbates.com. I just know the one we had here. I think it was called Christ and His Righteousness. But they appear to have a couple of possible boo-boos in it. And so decided to back burner it until I can get the original of it, because it looked like it could have been edited. How's the volume, by the way? I just noticed that the VU here is kind of low, but it's seems okay for when I make videos. Okay, it's good. All right, goody, goody, goody. I just, I looked at WTPR, and it's about halfway up, so it's plenty loud. So anyway, with all that said, let's pick up where we left off last Sabbath in Matthew 24. And it's that spot where Jesus was about to share the prophesied event of 70 A.D. And that was to occur, 40 years after he was crucified. 40 years after he was crucified, resurrected, and ascended. Because all that happened within, 40 days? And so I especially like this prophecy in that it, again, exposes the man of sin in Rome long before pagan Rome was even forced to give their satanic power over, to the popes. It went from pagan to papal Rome, who now claims the Sabbath was changed to Sunday at the resurrection of Christ, when in fact Jesus tells them in this prophecy that as the believers are all still in Jerusalem living their normal lives 40 years after he shares this prophecy with them, that he says that they should pray that what he is now revealing, which we know will happen in 66 A.D. He shares them as the final signs that will, of course, bring on 70 A.D., and I tested out Twitter, like I told some of y'all last night, and I was banned or locked out within 4 statements I made for the first time. I don't even know how to use Twitter yet. But one of them, this woman got all upset because she thought, with the 70 AD thing, she thinks that it is the culmination of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Or she's totally confused. But then when I started sharing the facts with her, she decided she didn't want to study it up anymore. But she was nice about it, and so I thanked her for her kindness. But, I tell you, it's a mess out there. I mean, there's some of the craziest things that are being preached out there. When Jesus was sharing this 40 years prior, he said that they should now pray that it should not happen on the Sabbath, of course. And as is very apparent here, the only Sabbath-keeping Jerusalem ever knew to keep at that time was the seventh-day Sabbath of the Bible, even 40 years after Jesus ascended. And so the reason I say up to that time is because of what happened in June of 2007, when, as expected, and hopefully some of the laughing from the scoffers stopped when myself and some of you were declaring over the decades that, the Jews are going to keep Sunday holy. And I says, they just started laughing. All right, well, whatever. I'm not going to, you know, say otherwise just because you're laughing. I mean, I can't change the Bible prophecy because you don't believe it. But anyway, in June of 2007, the Pope convinced, and I stress the part con, he convinced the Jews to keep Sunday holy. I actually put it in my July 2006 newsletter because they did it at the end of June, and I think that was around the time I was on the radio, so the newsletters were the weekly radio notes that I would transcribe further for the newsletter. And but here's the kicker. They did that in 2007, June of 2007. They agreed with the Pope that, we should have two Sabbaths a week. We should have, you know, the Sunday for the family and all this other stuff. But then just 10 years later, and we knew this was coming. I says, once you give the Pope or even the devil a toehold, he's got the leg. And so 10 years later, in April of 2017, they actually passed a law in Tel Aviv that allowed the Jews to legally, and when they say legally, they mean biblically, break the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath of the Creator God each week. And we knew this was coming because once you give the devil a foothold, he's got you. I mean, the fact that they bowed to the Sunday-keeping thing showed the Pope that, yeah, it was a done deal. But then we... You know, like with the Muslims or the Hindus or, especially atheists, but the Jews are no different from all the rest. They have no God. So they have no power to stand firm in faith. They say they have a God, just like the Muslims say they worship the God of the Old Testament Bible. The Jews, they say they worship the God of the Old Testament Bible, but they don't. If they did, they would have stood firm and they would have accepted his son as Messiah, as would the Muslims, you know, but the only reason they agreed to do so is because there's no understanding of doctrine or the prophetic word in Jerusalem, because they not only deny the prophesied Messiah, Jesus Christ, they slander and then teach all to disobey his commands on a daily basis. And, you know, like Proverbs 29:18 said, I mean, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And so, if they don't believe, they're not going to understand the prophecies or the doctrine, because the only way to understand doctrine or prophecy is to obey the guy that wrote it. And so, see, that's one of the beauties of the Bible. I remember when I first started reading, you know, because of all of these and the thous and all that stuff, it was hard for me to understand it, but I knew eventually I would understand it, because this is a book the Creator wrote. I'm part of his creation, and he wouldn't write a book his own children couldn't understand. There's a reason it's difficult to grasp at first. But if I stayed faithful, I know he'll open it up. Because it's closed to those who just open it in passing, like the atheists. All the atheists love doing this. So do the flat earthers. They'll take a specific Bible verse out of context to shore up their lies, like the atheists with the circle of the earth lie. And, They twist that word circle and make it mean something else. Or the atheists, where they make the Bible look like it contradicts. Well, yeah, of course it looks like it contradicts if you don't have eyes to see it. Oh, you hear that noise? Let's see if he does it again. Come on, you can do it again. I tell you, every year this time, I got a tree frog living in my office somewhere. I don't know where the little bugger's at, but... he must be well-fed, you know, on skeeters or something. I don't know, but every now and then, he might start chirping here in a minute, like a croaking noise he makes. It sounds like he's coming directly from my... Oh, okay, you hear that? That's him. Can you hear that? Can you hear me? Oh, okay, good, you could hear. Okay. Yeah, he's right behind me on my right. I moved my little bookcases around the other day, or today, or got behind him, and I couldn't see him. But he's back there every year, last 3 years. He's one of those little guys that stick to the window over by the light, waiting for a mosquito to come by or a moth or something. Anyway, he's answered a prayer, no doubt. Like the one time that I was, this was years ago, I had my office in the basement. We just moved in, and there was a bunch of crickets down there. And crickets are hard to catch because they'll make a noise that sounds like it's coming from somewhere else. So they're kind of like a little bit of a ventriloquist, which is evil, by the way, throwing the voice. It's part of witchcraft or something I was looking at years ago. But I found a way because of I got a weird issue with my ears. I was able to track them down. But, you know, I'd have to stop everything I'm doing, run around, grab the little guy, and then throw him outside. You know, and we got the big black fat crickets with the wings, but they don't fly. Yeah, he just put an exclamation on that. I think that's his favorite meal. But anyway, so I prayed. Yeah, he's praising the Lord. Amen, Sister Pam. And they are cute. Yes, they're little fat fingers, fingertips when they stick on your window. But anyway, I'm down there, and I'm working down there for a while, and the crickets were just, I couldn't do any recordings, you know, because I start doing a recording, all of a sudden the crickets, once they start making that noise, they don't stop until you come up and shake something near them. And that's an easy way to find them. You shake it, oh, he's underneath this. And so, boom, I drag it out, grab him, and throw him outside. But, so I prayed. I said, Father God, I need a toad. I need a big old toad. And I'm out in the midday prayer, and I'm praying this. And I'm, you know, says, I need a big old toad in the basement to take care of these crickets. And because he's going to go around, and as soon as they smell them, they're going to shut up. And, you know, anyway, I come in for the midday prayer, and Fran's already in the house. She goes, did you see what's trying to get in the basement? I said, no. I says, go by the basement door. He's bumping his little head up against the, or I think she said something to that effect. And it was an apple-sized toad. That's one of the biggest toads I've ever seen on my land. I mean, we got thousands of them because of my little fish pond. And but that was amazing. So I picked him up, put him down in the basement, and he took care of it. I haven't seen a cricket since down there. I mean, I've seen him up here once in a while, but yeah, that was pretty neat, I thought. Okay, but getting back, the Proverbs 29:18 thing, you know, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. It was also prophesied by our King, Jesus, our Savior and our Creator, with his own lips, when he walked among us 2,000 years ago, when he said to the non-believing Pharisee in John chapter 5, he says this in John chapter 5, verse 43. He said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive. And I remember the first time I started studying this up, or even in the scriptures after the ripe old age of 27, and then by 29 I had left the Catholic Church, and then started doing the work at 30. I remember something I saw in 67, and no, it wasn't a tornado, even though that was the year for it, and then we had the snowstorm. That year was amazing. And F5, and then in winter we had that... it was like 4 feet of snow, but because of the drifts, we had 30-foot drifts beside each house. And me and my brother Mike, we just jumped off the roof into the drift because it was touching the roof. But anyway, it brought me back every time I saw that. When I saw a reporter, I don't remember who the reporter was, but he came up to one of these Orthodox Jews, you guys with the phylactery and everything on the forehead, you know, with the big black box. And he comes up to him, he says, how do you guys handle this? How on earth do you guys deal with this? For literally thousands of years, you've been at war. This was that 12-day war, I think it was 12 days in 67. And the Jew and I, and here I am, a towhead at the time, 12-year-old. A towhead is like I had, my hair was so white that I had to wear a cap. My parents would insist on me wearing a cap in summer, certain days. Sunlight would go right through my hair and just burn my scalp. I had really thin white hair at the time. But it got thicker when I got older. But the thing is, I'm standing there looking at this, and the Jew literally said on camera, and I'm looking at it right now in my mind, I could see him standing there, and he leans forward and he goes, you know, if Antichrist himself were to appear and offer us peace, we would follow him. Because they're all about hating Christ anyway. So he had to get his dig in towards Christ. Because he knows how, you know, the Christian world defines Christ. And that threw my eyebrows up. Even though I was a Catholic, you know, because that's how we were raised. I thought, well, that was stupid. But the fact is, that's exactly what Jesus prophesied here. They never accepted him as Messiah, nor would they let him declare a single change in their wildly corrupted doctrines. Yet 2,000 years later, a man coming in the name of the prophesied Antichrist system in June of 2007 that bears a dozen names that equal 666 individually, and I proved that on the site. I actually did a video about it. Just look up 666 on my YouTube page. But he has his, you know, literal Antichrist. All the popes are Antichrist, right? And when he says that they must do as he commands over and above what the only living God commands, they're going to do it. And they did do it. And just like that guy said in 1967, or as Jesus prophesied 2,000 years prior in John 5:43. And because they failed this test with the mere man of sin, who carries a name a decade or so at a time, since 538, because they all die, even though they call themselves God on earth, these guys drop like flies, and rightly so. Their God is the Lord of flies. And so that's, you know, like in 538 is when they started using the Latin titles and whatnot. You know, like Vicarius Filii Dei or He Latin Basilia or Dux Clarius. You know, all these weird, if you just look at each particular title for the office of Pope in Latin and then use the Latin lettering, which is not just their alphabet, it's their numeric system. I mean, a letter V is a 5. We all know that. The letter X is a 10. The letter I is a 1. And so just do the math and just add up their names. Each name individually equals 666. And that's why it says in the Bible it's the number of a man's name. But yet all the wolves out there say, oh, no, that's the mark of the beast. It's a show of loyalty. Yeah, it's your mark of loyalty towards him. And that's why you see the 666 and all these logos out there, including the logo of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But they go one step further. Not only do they have those three waves that encircle the globe, because a wave in ancient paganism is the number 6, they also have an upside-down cross right there in your hidden in plain sight. And so anyway, so they, because they failed the test with that mere man of sin back in, you know, long ago, well, in 2007, they're gonna bow to him like they did in 2017. And, you know, the Creator, the King, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came in his Father's name, said to the rest, you know, said to us, to everybody, to rest each week on day 7, so as to acknowledge him as God and creator of the entire universe. For it is in his law, and specifically commandment number 4, wherein his people learn, know, and declare him as God, Savior, King, and Creator. But as Jesus said back then, soon all the world will bow in worship to do as Satan, who comes in his own name, because he has no father, so he comes in his own name, and to command unto all, worship him as a God who changed the Sabbath of the Creator unto the pagan honoring day of the week, the day of the sun god Baal, the sun god Baal. And most are going to bow to it. What I saw happen in 2007, then again in 2017, was just, you know, sealing their fate. It's just like with the plandemic, where I saw that, and it's easy to see now that it's more or less done. They set the stage. The plandemic was our 66 AD. That's all it really was. And in other words, everything they did to enforce the vaccine and the masks and all this other stuff is now built into the infrastructure of our society so that when they decide to enforce the mark, all their tools are there. So, yeah, that's our 66 AD. And so when they did what they did in 2017 and 2007, you know, with the Sunday keeping and then the breaking of the Sabbath in Tel Aviv. Yeah, that was just Satan making sure that his ducks were in a row so that when he enforces Sunday keeping globally, he knows the Jews are going to do it. And especially since the Jews were the first nation on the planet to get over, what was it, 85% of their people vaccinated? He's got them, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, he's got them. And so, yeah. So, you know, as I stated back in April of 2020, this pandemic is the same test the people of God experienced in 66 AD. They saw the abomination of desolation surrounding the city when they were granted the time to flee. They fled. The pandemic that started in March of 2020 was a test unto all of God's people the world over to see who's going to stand firm in Jesus and refuse to defile their temples of the Holy Spirit that is in their own bodies with a fake vaccine laden with cells from unclean animals and aborted babies. Because they surrounded the temple in 66 AD. And again in 70, obviously. And so are these people that call themselves Christians going to allow them, for Rome to surround them, and give them a vaccine with unclean animals and aborted babies in them? Or are they going to bow to the powers that be who demand that they do as Rome demands over and above what God commanded? Because that's where it's leading. I mean, it's already gotten to that point, too. I mean, Satan tested the Christians just like he tested the Jews in 2017. The Jews knew it was wrong to do it, but they went ahead and did it anyway. And a lot of the Christians out there knew it was defiling their bodies. Even Doug Batchelor pushed it on camera, telling the SDAs, he admitted on camera that it had pork in it. He didn't mention the aborted babies, though, because what he said next would make them really look bad. But he kept that part out of that video, and I got that video in one of my videos, where he literally said, well, if the vaccine's going to save lives, I think it's a good thing. No, he's got a 501c3. If he doesn't say that, he loses his 501c3. Well, actually, he's got three of them. And so for all along, the people of God knew the Pope was behind the entire thing. Who else could get all the governments on the planet to agree to do something everybody knew was wrong to do? Everybody knew the vaccine was fake. Everybody knew the plandemic was fake. Didn't even have the numbers to back it up. Even now, 2 years later, with their so-called massive numbers, it still doesn't even reach an epidemic stage when it comes to the percentage of people in a certain population have to die. 7% have to die before they could even say epidemic. And then when it gets to 10% and crosses the border, then it's a plandemic. Never got there in any nation. And so they all knew. Well, just like they all know now. And when the loud cry goes forth, that statement the Pope made the other day, and I made a video on it and posted it yesterday about him saying that God's not looking for perfect Christians. He doesn't want you to be standing out and steadfast and firm. Why? Because the people in the loud cry are going to be standing firm and standing out there and glorifying Christ. That statement he made is going to burn into the minds of all of Satan's people, just like the truth stays in the hearts of God's people. And so when we go forth, the devil is going to bring to dark, because he doesn't get any light, but he's going to bring to dark in their minds that what she said to him through his man of sin regarding, hey, if you see somebody that's standing firm in Christ and being all super Jesus freak, then yeah, there's something that's not right here. And the Pope literally said that. If they're like this, then there's something that's not right. They have to say these things. Satan knows the loud cry's coming. He knows people like us are going to go out there and do this. Miracles are going to happen, not because we're seeking self-glory, but because Christ will be glorified. And this is why they say these things in public. But for some that want a little more info on this, check out my November 23rd, 2020 blog entry, or my part two blog entry on July of 2021 regarding how, the first one's titled Proof Pope is Behind COVID-19, and the second one is Proof Number Two Pope is Behind the Plandemic, or Pandemic, I called it. And so, and as I stated last Sabbath, for those that claim Sunday laws are not the mark of the beast because the Jews would never bow to it, they have not only been keeping Sunday holy since 2007, they have been allowing their people to legally, biblically break the true seventh-day Sabbath of the Lord since 2017. So continuing in the prophecy, Jesus tells the Christians who will be living in Jerusalem 40 years later to watch for a sign that they need to get out of the city. Yeah, I more or less discussed that in a tad bit detail, but it's always good to verify, and then verify again. So what did Jesus say about this? Well, check out verses 15, 16, and 17. There's a reason he words it this way, too. It's pretty neat. He says, that when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Okay, for those of you that don't know what that is, that's Rome. The abomination of desolation is always Rome in prophecy, be it pagan or papal Rome. Same thing. And so, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, and now this is in parentheses, Jesus is saying, whoso readeth, let him understand. Who did he just mention? Daniel, right? Study Daniel in Revelation is more or less what he's saying here. Understand this. Because then he says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Jesus shows that Rome is going to surround and destroy the temple and how the Christians need to respond so as to illustrate what we must do in the coming days when the abomination of desolation, which is still Rome, they have been behind pandemic. You know, I got pandemic one and pandemic two, you know, the blog entries. It's always been Rome. And so in the coming days when Rome surrounds us as they're doing now, how are they actually surrounding us? A lot of people still wonder about that, even though they can see with their own eyes that even Iran and Afghanistan and all these places that hate Christianity with a passion agree with the Pope to go put masks on their people and get vaccines. And I did a video where there was only three at the time. By the time I got the video done, it was only like 4 or 5 minutes. There were two more. And so five leaders of specific nations refused to get the vaccine or wear masks. They knew it was a con. They knew it was about a new world order, right? And so they assassinated them. I got a video on all, not three of them, but while I was making the video, two more guys were killed. But when you get a chance, look up the term using a Brave browser or go to brave.com. DuckDuckGo is now compromised. Google, yeah, don't go there. Yahoo, Bing, all the rest. No, don't be searching those places because they're going to tag you and they're going to know, okay, in the future you're going to be a problem if you're looking up terms like this. So go to brave.com, or just download the Brave browser. It has the search engine built into it. And look up the term Club of Rome when you get time. And then do exactly as Jesus says to do here in verse 15. Whoso readeth, let him understand. I mean, there's a reason Jesus mentioned the Roman surrounding of his people, in the holy place or the temple, as Rome now seeks to do to every Christian who lets them defile their temples or their bodies, which is the vaccine, obviously. And it's defiling. I mean, to think about that, the Seventh-day Adventist Church of all churches, as a Christian church, knew about the prophecies and knew about how you can defy your... That's why the SDAs were known to not get cancer and stuff, because they didn't eat the unclean foods. And now guys like Doug Batchelor and Stephen Bohr and somebody else I did a video about get out there telling people... Stephen Bohr actually said Ellen White got the vaccine, the smallpox vaccine. And it was all based on hearsay from a guy who said something in the 1940s, decades after she died. They're going to build on anything they can build on. And so, and the SDAs fell for it. Why? Because they've been believing the lies all along. They stay in the church they know is apostate. And so, that's your choice. Now, when the real prophetic events happen, you're not going to see it. You're not going to understand it. You're going to be there willing and waiting to be shaken out. Because if you stay in the SDA church, you are shaken out of the Church of Christ. That's how clever the devil did it. The SDA Church is no longer SDA, especially after 1980 when they changed the statement of faith. They kept the SDA name, but they're no longer the SDA Church if you look at their statement of faith. And yeah, I got a video about that. On the left side of the screen, I show the original statement of faith, and on the right side, I show all the stuff that's missing or that's been added. It's a shocker. A lot of SDAs have gotten a little upset about that. But check this out. I'm going to put this in the room, as a matter of fact. I don't know if I'll be able to get the headline in there. I don't know if it'll fit. This is something that came out in September of 1973. I was all of 1 year. Okay, good. The headline made it in there. I was all of 1 year married because I got married. I'm sorry. I got married in 78. I was all of 1 year from being removed from high school without being able to graduate. Yeah, I was a jerk. So anyway, it says, the headline is Adaptive Model of the Global World System. It says the Club of Rome had its beginnings in April of 1968 when leaders from 10 different countries gathered in Rome. It's just like Herod, 10 different Herods, 10 different countries that say, hey, look, I want to be a part of this pie. I want to be a big old Herod. So 10 of them gathered in Rome. The organization claims to have the solutions for world peace and prosperity. Now, look at what they're doing with the economy. They're going to have an amazing, like it's called the Great Reset. Now everybody's going to go, oh, yahoo, we finally got a way to have, you know, like, you know, cashless society, digital dollar. Now we're all going to be fluent and all that. You know, they're going to dress it up. But they got to destroy the economy and get people standing in bread lines first. I mean, even Sister White said, that's what brings on civil war. They're going to make it really bad in the coming days. Because when they empty the store shelves, a lot of people say, okay, that's enough. I've had enough of this. I can't sit on the couch any longer. Hence the reason for the chemtrails and the food additives. They're trying to do like what Hitler did with the fluoride. They're trying to make everybody complacent. But there's people out there that, it just won't work. And so it goes on, it says, the Club of Rome has been charged with the task of overseeing the regionalization and unification of the entire world. Unify or universal is Latin, or is the English translation of the Catholic, of the Latin term Catholic. And so it says the club's findings and recommendations are published from time to time in special, highly confidential reports, which are sent to the power elite to be implemented. And then it says, hold on. Okay, everything's okay. All right, and then it says on September 17th, 1973, the club released one such report entitled Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. The document reveals that, now listen to what they say here. They actually echo something Daniel said, or Gabriel told Daniel to write down. They said that the club has divided the world into 10 political economic regions, which it refers to as kingdoms. Now do you see why Jesus said to study the book of Daniel? When he said, let the reader take note, after how he describes Rome surrounding the temple, your temple now. We all know Jesus told Daniel what to prophesy when it came to the 10 toes of that image he saw in vision that spoke of all the kingdoms of the world that will come forth after Daniel's day. Those 10 toes have their power granted unto them during the 1 hour with the beast at the end of Plague 6. This is why Doug Batchelor and pedophiles like Craig Kalkoffen literally say otherwise and try to tell everyone we're false prophets. Because it's happening, and it's happening soon. I mean, it all ends as at those 10 toes. And the reason I mention Craig the way I do like that, look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, or is it 2 Timothy? I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. If he was just a regular guy sitting in the pew, no, you'd never hear me mention his name again. But he was a pastor. You have to rebuke them openly so others fear to do the same. He's luring people into damnation with him. We have to expose that. If it upsets some people, then please read your Bible and obey your Lord, your Savior, and King. This is why people still sit in the SDA church. They're believing the creature, which is the pastor, over and above the creator, which is our God. And so we all know why Jesus told Daniel what to prophesy that day. And when it came to the 10 toes of that image, he saw in vision that spoke of all the kingdoms of the world that will come forth after Daniel's day. It all ends at those 10 toes, which we now know is the New World Order. That's going to be in power at the end of Plague 6. I have 26 videos so far and at least 2 pages on the website wherein I speak about how this is all happening as we speak. Just go to my YouTube page and look up in the playlist section. Go to the playlist section and hit F3 on your keyboard and type in 10 toes. It'll bring you right to the playlist, and I think at last count there was 26 videos. But how does this apply for us today? Rome surrounded the Christians who were in Jerusalem in 66 A.D. And Rome surrounded the temple when Titus came back in 70 A.D. Now, listen closely, and I'm going to close with this. Rome is once again surrounding every Christian right now as they did in 66 A.D., but this time they're doing it with a fake pandemic wherein every government leader has agreed to do as the Pope commands because they know they're going to get assassinated if they don't. That's why they hate Rome, but they'll do as Rome demands. Who can make war with him? Remember? That's what the prophecy said. But how does Rome destroy the temple? 1 Corinthians 3:16, and I'll wait for that one to get in the room. Oh, it's 1 Timothy 5, verses 19 and 21. Put in verse 21, too, there, Brother Alvin. Amen to that, Arthur. Yeah. And I think, was it you? I think, Brother Arthur, you put up a page or something about that? You built a page on that? And I thank you if that was you? I haven't said anything other than what we were told to do that day when the Lord says you need to remove Achan out of the camp. You got to do it. We have to obey. And that's what we did. And that's all we did since then. Never made a video, nothing else. So anyway, verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. I was guilty of that. I was keeping it, I wasn't mentioning Craig and what he did for quite a while. Then the Lord says, look, what you're doing is wrong. You have to make mention. So. Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay. I thought one of the guy's name was Arthur or something like that. But anyway, but look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. How is Rome destroying your temple? This is for those that have gotten the vaccine or those that are tempted to get it. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Taking the toxic jab can kill you on day one, depending upon your chemical makeup. Or if you survive the jab, as many do, you will become a lifelong patient to them now that your body is terminally ill. And whenever they want, they can kill you by suggesting a treatment you are unaware that will actually kill you. You're literally, nowadays, you're taking your life into your hands going into the hospital. Pray if you get sick and go into those hospitals. And instruct your loved ones. If you're in a comatose state, tell them, do not give my loved one any of these, remdesivir or any of these, or the vaccine or anything. Make sure they have to listen to you, But as for Rome surrounding the people of God, jab or no jab, as we speak, the powers that be have all bowed to the Pope each time that they are elected in their respective nations. Here in the USA, we have all seen how every single U.S. president has done this on camera so as to declare the Pope leader. And if he's a two-term president like Obama recently, he must publicly meet with the Pope to acknowledge him as a leader twice. It's the only nation that does this. All the other nations do, meet, but they don't do this dual-term thing. Why? Because Rome was involved in setting up the way, we would have, like when they talked George Washington, a Mason, into going two terms only, because they wanted to make him king of the United States. But Rome got involved in there. Why? I mean, look at how old popes are elected. The older the pope is elected, the less time he's going to be alive. That way, if it becomes what they call anti-pope, or against his party, because that's really all it is. I mean, what Biden's doing now is ticking off a lot of people in the Democratic Party. And so that's why they would want an older pope, in case he goes rogue. Then he'll just eventually die off, or they'll kill him, like they did John Paul I. They poisoned him. And I'm pretty convinced in my mind they did the same thing to John Paul II when his usefulness waned, because he's drooling and he couldn't keep his mouth closed. And he was leaning over. He was about ready to fall over on camera. So they had to get him. He was becoming an embarrassment, so they killed him off. I have no doubt in that. So anyway, Rome is already surrounding every nation as we speak, just like they did in 66 AD. The fact all of them agreed to take a fake pandemic, to fake a pandemic, rather, all together as one, even though they hate each other, proves this, hands down. The one world government's already here on paper. They just haven't made the announcement yet because they got to get all those ducks in a row. And that can only happen at the end of Plague 6. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.